The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples were listening and said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know, we have come to believe, and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. It's wonderful to be together today. The sun is out, and so are we. And we are gathered here because the Lord Jesus has the words of eternal life. My brothers and sisters, the deepest desires of our hearts are to have life, to be one with God. Nothing else satisfies the human heart but God, who is love, and God, who is eternal life. And we receive His life and we receive His love through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit whom St. Paul calls the love of God poured into our hearts, who comes to us in the sacraments, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and whose true presence in our hearts is manifested by the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, self-control. These are the signs, these are the blossoms of a tree that has come to life by the gift of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, and there is a particular food for the journey. There is a food that is the food of everlasting life, and it is the Holy Eucharist. Jesus Christ, who is truly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the Eucharist, the sacrament of love itself. Although it looks like bread and looks like wine, after the priest speaks the words of institution, Jesus Christ is fully and truly present. The one whom we adore, the one for whom we long, the one whom we desire face to face to embrace us and to embrace, is here with us in the Eucharist. For this he says, "My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. And the food that I will give, the bread that I will give, is my flesh for the life of the world." At the scandal of this teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, many of the disciples of Jesus left him, and they returned to their former way of life. My brothers and sisters, anytime any of us are separated from the sacraments, are separated from the Lord, it is a turning from Him, turning to our former ways of life. And it is time for us to always hear the personal invitation to choose to follow Jesus Christ. Faith is always a gift. Faith is always ecclesial in form. It puts us in touch with the communion of the saints and ultimately with the communion of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom and through whom and with whom, whose very identity we receive in baptism. But my brothers and sisters, there comes a day when we must respond to the challenge of Joshua. Just as the Hebrew people were taken into the promised land, were given the land that they conquered, the land promised to their fathers, when they were at peace and they had received the Holy Torah of Moses, when they had conquered their enemies, Joshua realized that there was still a choice to be made. Joshua responds, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And my brothers and sisters, each of us has to make that decision. Faith cannot be chosen for us. Faith is a gift that comes to us that is received, ultimately with love and responsibility. Each one of us has to respond. Will we serve other gods? Will we choose another way? Will we be like the disciples who choose no longer to follow the Lord Jesus and go to our former way of life? Or can we respond by the gift of the Holy Spirit within us? "As for me and my house, as for me and my heart, where God dwells, we will serve the Lord." There are some other hard teachings, my brothers and sisters. One of them we hear in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. It can be hard to our ears today, but I hope to set the context in the text so that we can receive the beauty and the splendor and the truthful liberation that these words of St. Paul about Christian marriage, about the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood, all in these few verses are given to us. The first is to realize that the structure of this text is called a Hausstaffel, a household text that was made most prominent by Aristotle in his Nicomachean Ethics, and it was typical for other philosophers to write about the life of the just man, how a man was to relate to his wife, how he was to relate to his children, and as a master, how he would relate to his servants, and all the way to the city, to the polis. And St. Paul is very aware of this. This is the way that those who are in Ephesus, perhaps the most educated, the most highly educated population in the early Christian church, exposed to the Greek philosophers, are now going to hear something different. And I hope that with me you can hear the novelty of what Paul is writing. The first is that he does not first address men. He addresses women first. Now to us this sounds harsh, but to Paul it would have been a revolution. Not first to address the man of the house, but to address the woman as the man's equal in the Spirit of Christ. And to precede that address with a mutual command, not telling the just man how to live, but telling all Christians how to live, subordinate yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that word, upotassamai, is not a word used by the philosophers. Subordination is not a common word used in Greek culture. It was only used twice in regard to marriage in all of Greek literature. And here St. Paul is taking a word and he's giving it a particular form. My brothers and sisters, mutual subordination is the form of Christian love. It is to freely submit ourselves to one another. And it is the call of all the baptized to mutually subordinate ourselves to each other out of fear of the Lord, out of love of the Lord. And it is specifically the grace given to those who are married in the sacrament of holy matrimony. And I want you to imagine that, to get the effect of the text itself, imagine that Paul doesn't first address the women, which would have been a revolution in the day. Imagine that he begins with the men. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, for whom he handed himself over, cleansing her to be free of any spot or wrinkle in the healing water of the word, for whom he gives his own flesh, for no one hates his body. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, for whom he died. Wives, offer yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord." We can see that the precedence is not first to women or first to the man, but to both. And that there is a way that Christian love works, and it is total mutual subordination to the man and to the woman, to one another. The way that St. Paul describes the subordination of the husband to his wife is he doesn't repeat the word subordination. He uses the verb parodidomai. Parodidomai is the word specified in Christian culture for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is the word used in the synoptics when the Lord says it is time for him to be handed over. And the Christians knew that. Husbands knew that. When they heard those words of Paul, of course, they were pierced to the heart. Do I love my wife that way? Do I love her the way that Christ loves the church? Am I willing to die for my wife? Will I bear the crosses that I face every day for her? Am I willing to sacrifice my life so that the blood that pumps through my veins will purify her and give life to her and to my children. Wives, to the church, to your husbands, as to the Lord. The church joyfully receives the love of Jesus Christ, her bridegroom. It is joy that connotes our vocations as Christians. We joyfully allow the Lord to love us and to place ourselves within His heart. My brothers and sisters, this is a marvelous teaching on Christian marriage that specifies how our hearts can be transformed to love one another the way that Christ loves us, and especially for married couples to be transformed and elevated by the new commandment. But my brothers and sisters, St. Paul doesn't stop there. St. Paul doesn't say, quote Genesis chapter 2, and then say, I'm referring to all of you. He says, for this reason, a man leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And I'm speaking about the great mystery of Christ and the church. My brothers and sisters, these words are also addressed to the priests of the church, to the elders who are the successors of the apostles, consecrated by their bishops, to see the Christian marriage, which is a visible and concrete sign of the invisible mystery of the unity of Christ and the church, points to the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. It is the Holy Eucharist. It is the priesthood, the celibate priest who is consecrated to God, who is betrothed to the spouse of Christ, to the church, who is called to make present the invisible mystery in the Holy Eucharist. The vocation of Christian marriage and the vocation to the Catholic priesthood are both mutually to inform the single invisible mystery of the love of Christ for the church and the love of the church for Christ. My brothers and sisters, this is our faith. This is the novelty that the Christian faith brings to the world, that love believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things, and that love never fails. That whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. My brothers and sisters, this is our vocation, to be transformed by love. We are invited to hear again the question of our Lord, to be restoked in our love for Him and reinvigorated in our vocations, myself as a priest and all of you as the baptized, faithful, married, single, in all the states of life, for us to hear that appeal of the Lord, will you too leave? Will you too settle for another way, another path? Or will you be transformed by love? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to stoke the fire of my love in your heart so that you love one another the way that I love you? Will you allow the Eucharist to be the center of your life? And will you worship and honor and adore God, who is life itself and mercy itself, truly, fully, substantially present in the Holy Eucharist? Priests, will you love the church the way that I do? Will you die for her? Will you make present my own passion, death, and resurrection, the way that you serve the people to whom I have sent you? My brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is asking you, what He's asking me. And there is a response that we have already received. It is a response that is written in our hearts, given to us by baptism and the gift of faith. And it is the response of the man who would deny the Lord. The man who would say, Lord, if it is you walking in the water, bid that I come to you and go and sink into the waters and cry out, Lord, save me. My brothers and sisters, the Apostle Peter. It is to Peter that the Lord addresses a single question at the conclusion of the Gospel of John. It is not, Peter, are you successful? Peter, did you do everything I asked you to do today? Peter, do you have what it takes? The question to Peter is simply, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. My brothers and sisters, with the faith of Peter, Peter who is the rock on whom the church is built, on whom every baptized Christian becomes a living stone in the holy temple of God, we have also received his response that comes to us in the sacred scriptures of our faith. It is Peter who says, Master, To whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, can we make that response our own? Are we tired of going to other places? Can we finally turn with our hearts to the Lord and decide to go to Him and to Him alone? As that happens, we become more strong in our faith, in our belief, and we are also able to make Peter's words our own. Master, we have come to know and we have come to believe that You are the Holy One of God.